I have with me Sarah, and she's with an organisation called Caledonia. Welcome, Sarah.
Thank you very much, Alan.
Now, first of all, I've got to ask you what the organisation is.
So we're Caledonia Dementia Care. We provide services and supports for people living with dementia, from diagnosis till perhaps they're needing more advanced nursing home care. We also provide supports for their family members who care for them. A diagnosis of dementia can be anything from 6, 8, 15 years. So we're providing social and recreational activities and respite during those years.
It's a terrible disease. My mother had it for 9 years and anyway, we won't go into mine. What made you, as Sarah, decide you wanted to get involved with an organisation such as this? Because not everybody would want to be involved with an organisation like that.
So I started out doing activities for people with disabilities, day trips, holidays, discos in the evening, that sort of thing. Yep. I then went to do activities for older people. Yep. I worked down in Bentley and we started a group for people living with dementia. And that's when I fell in love with the work and yep. realised that there wasn't enough services for people living with dementia.
Let me just ask you, and I don't want to delve into your personal life, have you been a nurse along the line or did you come at it from another area another way altogether?
No, I came at it from a recreation background rather yep. than nursing.
And how long have you been involved with the organisation?
For me, it'll be 25 years next year. I started in 2001.
Gee. How long's the organisation been going?
We've been going since 1983, so that's, what, 42 years now.
42 years. Who had the foresight to set it up?
So we were started by a lovely lady named Trish Maggs. Right. Trish was a nurse by trade, and she had both parents living with dementia. There was nothing around in the 80s for people living with dementia. They were popped into a nursing home or, you know, maybe misdiagnosed as perhaps a mental breakdown or something like that. So she started the very first carer support group for people living with dementia and the people who care for them in her lounge room in Muralbark. Yeah. And that's how we started, from the little carer support group.
Now, one thing that, I mean, we all associate dementia with the elderly, but we shouldn't, because there are young people that get it too, aren't there?
Absolutely. The youngest person that we have provided services for was 33 when he was diagnosed.
Gee, that's young.
And he died at 38. But he had a very fast-moving frontotemporal dementia.
Yep.
Most of our folk are in their 70s and 80s,
yep.
but we're seeing more and more people in their 50s and 60s coming to us, yes.
All right. Now, the next question I'm going to ask you is, people talk about dementia and then some people call it Alzheimer's. Are there different types of this disease or is it just we give it different names?
So dementia is an overarching word
right.
that describes a cluster of symptoms. One of those is short-term memory loss.
Yep.
There are over 200 different types of dementia. The most common one is Alzheimer's disease. Alzheimer's disease is tiny bits of the brain dying. You've probably heard about plaques and tangles
yep.
and research and
yep.
Nobody knows what causes Alzheimer's disease and there is no cure at the moment.
Mm.
The second most common is vascular dementia, which is a series of small bleeds
yep.
across the surface of the brain or across the brain, cutting off bits.
Yep.
And there are about, like I said, 200 other types of dementia, including Lewy body dementia, young onset dementia, frontotemporal dementia,
and then some right. of the. So there's about 200 different, and I know that, well, a friend that I knew, he got it, but they attributed that to he'd had a huge motor accident years ago and had been brain damaged to a degree. Got on with life and had a family and was able to hold out a very good job, but then it came back later in life. Now, whether they can't say that's what caused it, but they're saying, you know, if you're a betting man, you'd be saying, well, that's probably how it happened. So I guess there are, point I'm trying to make, or ask you, there are various ways of getting it, aren't there?
There are various things that may make you more likely to develop dementia.
Yep.
Certainly there's a lot of research going on into whether trauma to the brain, physical trauma or even emotional trauma, PTSD, those type of conditions can contribute to dementia later in life. There's a lot of research going on with veterans and with people who have, like your friend, had a serious accident.
Because back in those days, when he first had the accident there, they never talked about dementia. They just, it was only in later life when he started to forget things and do things or not do things he used power to do that they had a look at him. Up till then, they just didn't talk about those things.
Yeah. One of the best things you can do to help yourself have a better chance of not developing dementia, of course, is anything that looks after the brain. So exercising, eating well, not drinking too much, looking after ourselves, staying connected to community and using your brain as much as possible.
I'm glad you mentioned that because one of the things that I've talked about on this show over the many years that I've done it is staying socially connected. As you get older, it's very easy when you're in the workforce to get up in the morning, go to work, but you're with other people, you're talking to other people, you're doing a job and come home and then by the time you get home you have tea and you watch a bit of telly and that's it. Particularly when the kids are growing up, you take the kids to sport, all that sort of stuff. All of a sudden you get to an age, you're retired. And particularly, I think, when one of the partners dies, because you could have all these great plans, we're going to travel around Australia, we're going to buy a van, one dies, and particularly if it's the one who didn't drive, who did do all the driving, and all of a sudden they're stuck at home. And if you're going to sit there and do that, it's not going to go well, is it?
No, it is almost, they should prescribe staying socially connected, joining a group, being with other people, staying social, being connected to your friends, making new friends if you have lost friends along the way, but volunteering, getting out there, and just connecting with anyone in the community.
One of the groups I have come in quite often, four times a year, is U3A. And, I mean, there's a lot of retired people there who that's all they do. And I was talking to one lady, this is a few years ago, and typical of what I said, they were going to travel, the husband died, she's by herself, she never went to the house, and when she did, she'd go down the street, didn't know anyone, buy the shopping and then go home. So she joined a group and she said, oh, I go down the street, and then one will say, oh, let's have a coffee, and I have a coffee, and she said, you know, where I used to be gone for an hour, and I can be gone for hours, or someone else will say, oh, look, it's nearly lunchtime, what's how we go? So that's got to be good for you, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And that's, bringing it back to Caledonia, that's one of the absolute benefits. People don't have to be advanced in their dementia, but if they're starting to lose connection with their social groups or their volunteer work, they can come along to our social groups where they're supported, they're understood, any deficits are definitely understood and catered for, but they're out in the valley doing bowling, they're going for pub lunches, they're volunteering themselves. We've been up here, absolutely.
The other thing is too, I'll ask you about this, and it's probably not fair to ask you too much on medical side because you're a person involved more with the care. But they also tell me that learning a new language or a musical instrument is good for you.
Anything that uses your brain and challenges your brain. Our brains are so adaptable. Yep. If you challenge yourself to learn a new language, an instrument, that's using the creative part of your brain or a new part of your brain. Yep. There's a whole lot of research too into, and I'm not medical, into neuroplasticity, forming new pathways in the brain, keeping it active and not just using those bits which we've used all our lives.
Got to take a quick break. And, of course, the other problem is if you're not using them at all, if you're just sitting around at home, not going to be good either, is it?
No, it's not.
Now, we're not here to press people because it is a serious subject, but at the same token, your group doesn't just go around depressing people. In fact, they do far from it. So what does your group actually do?
So we are social and recreational activities for people living with dementia. As people get a diagnosis of dementia and perhaps can't join their own social groups anymore or volunteer or work if they're younger.
Or frightened of being seen as a bit silly.
Seen as a bit silly by perhaps the senior sits or the music group. They can come along to us and have a day out in the valley, go out in the bus, go bowling, go to pub lunches, go sightseeing, or they can come down to the centre and have a day of activities and chat and socialising at the centre.
So how often would a person that will take one of your clients, we're not going to mention any names, how often would they come to you and in a week, and what would they do in that week?
So most people will come to us once or twice a week.
Yep.
As people progress or if their carer needs more of a break, we will take people extra days. And on special circumstances, if people are having medical appointments or there's a crisis in the family, we might have someone every day for a couple of weeks just to give that family member a break.
All right, so with the carers, that they're not part of the group, are they? That it's more respite care for them? Well,
yeah, absolutely. So if you're caring for somebody living with dementia, you can drop them off to their friends for the day and have a day for yourself, a day where you're free from your caring responsibilities and you can deal with your own bits and pieces.
And it's very important that those carers get that time, doesn't it? Otherwise, they might not get dementia, but they could very easily break down in other areas of their health because they're just under stress all the time.
Absolutely. And the thing we say, we provide carer support groups and we have quite a lot of activities for carers, but the one message we say to each and every one of them is you have to care for yourself first so you can keep caring for the person you love. And the analogy is the air hostess the cabin crew on the aeroplane saying, please, have your own oxygen before you start trying to help anybody else. If you collapse, how can you care for the person you love?
Right. That sounds good too. So do you ever run any days for the carers or it's all about the dementia sufferer?
So we like to say people living with dementia, not sufferer, because they're not suffering most of the time.
Yep.
We run a general carer support group once a month in Lilydale.
Yep.
We have a men's carer lunch that meets once a month at the Kilsyth Club. We have a young onset dementia carers group that meets twice a month, once online from all over Melbourne and once a lunch in a central location, usually Burwood or Doncaster. Yeah. We run respite retreats every month for 3 days for the people living with dementia and the carer.
What area are those retreats normally?
They're at the back of Yarra Glen at the Eden resort there. Oh. It's a wedding venue, absolutely magnificent venue.
Yep.
And midweek, once a month, we have 3 days there, which is carer education for the carers and a day of engagement, 3 days, of engagement and activities for the person living with dementia.
So on those retreats, and I don't want to go into it too deeply because, we don't want to impinge on anybody. On those days, do the person living with dementia, I'll pick that up, do they go sort of one way and the carers go the other way and talk to each other or do they all stick together?
Yeah, so it's a beautiful resort. We've got a big education sort of area, a hall, where we go with the carers and do education for the 3 days and the people living with dementia stay down in the house bit. There's a pool table, there's a swimming pool, there's an outdoor area. They go out in the bus maybe for the day, one of the days, but they engage in just all the normal social activities you'd do if you went away to a holiday house for the weekend.
So when you that sounds terrific. So when you're saying during the week that some of these things that you run, not social activities but more physical activities, what sort of things are you doing there?
So when people come down to the centre at Muralbark, it's a very social day modelled on sort of a club model. So people come in the morning, join together, have a cup of tea, catch up. We will do a mix of physical activities such as bocce, bowls, croquet, walk in the garden, all those sort of things, as well as intellectual activities, so a crossword word game, quizzes, where we'll do some music. We might have an entertainer in. So it's a day full of different activities run by the staff all day. Everybody is encouraged to be engaged and active. And we have different days for people with different levels of dementia. So I know that often people think, oh, I'm not ready for that. My partner's not ready for that.
Yep.
It's certainly not nursing home. This is much earlier than that, and it's where people can come and socialise with a peer group who understands what's going on.
Yep.
And the carer can start getting some information how to navigate the journey for the next 4, 5, 10 years. Yep.
And do you find there's much interaction between the actual carers, that one carer might not quite understand what's going on, but another carer will say, oh, this happened to me or something. Do you find
Absolutely. And that's the benefit of a carer group. It's not us as the experts. It's those experts who are going through it, who really support each other. Yep. And depending on where they are in the journey.
Because they'll all be at different stages.
Absolutely. They can give each other their own advice. Yeah.
I've just got a quick break. Something's popped up in the computer. We'll be back with more. I'm talking to Sarah from a group called Caledonia, and she tells me that's the name of an orchid or something. So we'll talk about that in a minute. But all right, so I get up tomorrow morning and I can't find my keys, or I've lost my wallet. How do I know that that's not the onset to dementia or one of these complaints?
Oh, look, Alan, everybody worries about that. As soon as they lose their keys or lose their phone, they're coming in going, how do I know that's not? And what, look, the way I say to people is, we've all got so many things in our brain at one time.
Yep.
If you put your keys down by the front door because the cat got out and you got a parcel from Amazon and it was too windy and you put them down by the front door, when you go back to the front door, you'll see them and you go, oh, that's right. There was an Amazon parcel and the cat tried to escape and it was windy and that's why I put my keys by the front door. Somebody living with dementia has lost the ability to lay down short-term memories. So they'll see the keys by the front door and go, well, I didn't put those there. Someone else must have moved them. People living with dementia get a bad rap for being paranoid or imagining things. But if you think about the fact that they cannot lay down, they physically cannot lay that memory in their brain, they have no idea of how the keys got there.
Now, I'm intrigued what you said there. So they don't just turn around and think, oh, there's my keys. They actually blame someone?
They can blame someone, yeah. Absolutely.
But generally would, or is that...
Well, if I had absolutely no memory, I knew I didn't put my keys there, I'd accuse my husband. I'd say, you moved my keys. Someone must have moved my keys because I didn't do it.
Yeah.
And, you know, you hear of people thinking there are people in their house at night moving things around, and we say they're having delusions. But honestly, if you get up in the morning and the breakfast dishes are suddenly out and you don't remember putting them out, you're going to think somebody else did it. But it's just our brain being unable to keep those short-term memories, and yet the long-term memories are intact. People can often talk about school or work or their family from way back.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. From what I've heard, my mother had it, as I've told you, and also another relative of mine had it towards the end of his life. He could talk about things back in sort of, you know, when he was 10. But if you said to him, what have you done today? He couldn't tell you.
No idea, no. So memories are laid down in a certain order from childhood to puberty to adulthood and up, and they get eroded mostly in the same order. So you lose yesterday, last week, 3 months ago, a year ago, 5 years ago, and they wear away that way.
So go back.
Yeah.
And therefore it makes it a... So what about where a person, you said about... Like they can't find their keys. How often would a person forget that they owned the car? Or would that be a really late stage?
That would be really late stage.
Would it?
Yeah. We have, I mean, car keys and cars are linked in our memory from a very early age.
Yep.
And I know that someone said to you, it's not losing your keys, it's when you can't remember that you've got a car.
Yep.
That's a good way of putting it, but it's more likely that you may start forgetting appointments, you may start forgetting medication, you may start forgetting anniversaries and important things. You may start arguing with your family because you'll say, well, you didn't tell me that, or forgetting anniversaries. And people say, Dad, why didn't you remember? And you go, well, nobody told me. But it's the medications, it's forgetting to eat, it's forgetting to put the milk away or read the use by on the milk that often really impacts people's lives, and that's when we see people not coping at home.
You mentioned that they'll say, oh, I didn't do this. So how often when these people have got these, I don't want to say diseases because I'm not quite sure how to
it is a disease. It's a disease.
Right, a disease. How often do they get aggressive?
And that's I fully believe that's another myth. People who get diagnosed with dementia do not automatically become aggressive.
No, they.
It's when we impose things on them that they don't understand why they have to do it or they don't want to do it, that people will push back. If some young whippersnapper came into my house and told me that I was grubby and had to have a shower, I'd be quite cross with them.
No doubt. Yeah, I see what you mean.
So it's how we approach people and how we ask them to, you know, to do things or how we suggest things to them. People do not become automatically aggressive.
It's not part of the disease.
Absolutely not.
It's more how they're treated.
Absolutely.
All right, look, we've got to take a quick break. We'll be back with a bit more. And as we get closer to about 5 to 3, 10 to 3, Sarah will give you some contact details. If you're going with a bit of a problem, you need to talk to them. But particularly if you're a carer, that's the sort of people I think that we really need to be talking to today. You may not be 100% sure that the person is heading down that track, but I'm sure Sarah and her group can actually either talk to you and suggest your next step. All these things, and we talk about in cancer care and all that, shouldn't face it alone. You're never in this world here by yourself.
Just one look and I feel so high.
After 3 o'clock news this afternoon, Greg Carrick will be on with the Oz Indie Show, always a great show. Songs that have just been released in the last week, so you can't get much newer than that. I'll be back on Sunday night between 6 and 8 with a rock and roll hit parade. Plenty of hits of the 60s. And, of course, next Wednesday I'll be back between 12 and 3. I know Cindy McLeish is coming in. To be honest, I should have looked up my calendar and see who else was coming in, but I'll be here next Wednesday with 3 hours of Community Connections. But we're talking to Sarah at Caledonia. Why did they pick that that flower? Is there any reason, significance behind that?
It's a local flower. It's a local spider orchid, the Caledonia I hope I get this right, Patisoni something. It's a specific genus within the spider orchid family, but it is local to Mirrabooka, Kilsyth, the Yarra Valley. And a lot of groups were naming themselves all sorts of different things, and Trish, who founded us, chose a flower. She said, thought that would endure, I guess, over the years. Yeah.
Is she still involved? Or?
No, Trish came full circle. She started the group. She was on the committee of management for a long time. Yep. She then nursed her husband who had dementia.
Right.
She then was diagnosed with dementia herself, and she actually joined our programs.
Did she?
She would sit next to one of the activity staff and tell them they were doing a good job. Everybody looked like they were engaged. Well done. until she was too unwell to come and passed away, gosh, before COVID, so 6 or 7 years ago.
Sure, she obviously did a great job to get an organiser. All right, so we've got people listening now who may have been diagnosed or in the process of going through it. How are they going to find out more about your organisation, please?
The first thing I want to say is that it's never too early to reach out. I know a lot of people think of a dementia service as sort of much older people sitting with rugs on their knee watching TV. This is much more vibrant, and it's certainly worth contacting us really early on.
Well, it's never going to be too early, is it?
It's never going to be too early, absolutely. Yeah. So you can ring us on 9727 2222.
Again, please.
9727 2222. You can email us on Caledenia, which is Caladenia at caledenia.com.au. You can look us up on Facebook. We've got a Facebook page which is fairly active.
And just Caledenia?
Just Caledenia, yep. And we welcome your inquiries. Even if you're not thinking of using the services, please inquire. We're there to answer your questions. We are your local government-funded service.
Yeah.
There's 22 staff on the team, as well as about 30 volunteers. So, you know, we're a busy place. We've definitely got time to answer your questions or to find out what information you need.
All right. So what days are you open?
Monday to Saturday.
Are you open Monday to Saturday?
Yep.
Yeah.
8 till 5.
And 5 o'clock on the Saturday as well, is it?
Well, 4 o'clock on the Saturday. But
that's okay. No, that's okay. Just want to check. So it's 9727 2222. Facebook is under Caledenia, and your email address is caledenia@caledenia.com.au.
Yeah, absolutely.
Got that right. Now, the Caledenia in both instances are all in lowercase.
Correct, yes.
Yeah. Look, it's been a fascinating interview. I wish it was an interview we didn't have to have, because I guess any disease we're talking about isn't good, particularly when it's not. But I just want to re-emphasise to people, and I've said this with the cancer treatment and all those, don't be by yourself. Probably one of the things that are the worst things is that if we don't get advice from people who are actually involved like yourself, then we always think of the worst. We never think of anything that might not be that. So I guess the best thing people can do is to contact you. And I guess, as you just said, it's never too early.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we like to say it might be a bend in the road. It's certainly not the end of the road.
Yeah, and with your group, and obviously once they get to the nursing home stage, your group's not involved. What's the longest you've had a person involved in your group?
15 years.
15? I didn't know the disease went that long.
Yeah.
What's the longest case?
That's the person who was with us the longest. I don't know any stats around what's the longest somebody has lived with dementia, but that particular guy came to us very early with mild cognitive impairment, so that's kind of before a dementia diagnosis, and was with us pretty much until he went into residential care.
Because in the past, I've heard stories, and I just ask you this, and it's probably a bit unfair to ask you, but I've heard of some young people that have got it fairly young being put in a nursing home very early, and they're being stuck. Shouldn't say stuck, but they're amongst people who are very advanced, and these young people, it must be terrible. Like, it's never going to be good for them, is it?
No, it's not. The government certainly made a decision that there should be no young people in nursing
and
homes.
I agree with that.
And people who are diagnosed with dementia under the age of 65 can access NDIS funds and can get accommodation and respite options through the NDIS.
Oh, can they?
Yep.
Well, that's terrific because, I mean, you put them in that organised. I guess one of the things that you've been talking about, and we've discussed this a fair bit, is keeping our minds active. But when you get into in the nursing home, I know they do a bit of activities with them, but a lot of them are so far down the track that they can't do much. So it must be terrible for a young person to be involved in that sort of place.
And we need more of those facilities. There's only a couple in Melbourne at the moment.
Is there?
We do need more of those facilities for younger people to still be active and engaged and physically active and living their lives as the best they can.
Yeah. I guess that's all we can ask for anybody, isn't it? So just again, the phone number and your contacts again, please.
So you can contact us at Caledonia on 97272222. My name's Sarah. You can ask for myself or anyone on the team.
And your email address?
Is Caledonia, Caledenia, at caledonia.com.au.
Can't do better than that. So it's always worthwhile asking the question. You're talking to people that know what they're... have had a lot of experience. We're talking over 40 years experience, and Sarah's had 20 something years, so you must know a little bit about what's good for people. it must be hard for people like yourself and the staff down there when a person gets to the stage where they can no longer come along to your group.
Oh, look, it is sad. Our staff are fabulously professional and they love the work they do. They're very happy.
Let me just stop you there.
Yeah.
Because you're never going to get people to do a job like that unless they're passionate. And one thing I should have asked you earlier on, I'm starting to run out of time, and I don't like to butt in, but yourself and the people that work there, they're not doing it for the money, because I can tell you they'd be all getting better money if they are working in the enterprise. And so, therefore, you're getting people who are really committed, aren't you?
Absolutely, yeah. They've chosen to do this. They love what they do.
Yeah.
But they're all professional. We do – it's sad to say goodbye to people, but we know we've given them, whether it's 6 months or 3-4 years of terrific socialisation during that time.
Yeah, and that's all the best you can ask for. And I always stress that with the different interviews I've done. When you get into social service and you get into groups like yourself, no one's doing it for the money, because the money is terrible compared to what you can get in private enterprise. So I think it's terrific that you and your staff are involved. As I said to you at the start, I wish these diseases didn't exist, but they do.
Yep.
And the best thing that you can do and I think we've said a couple of times now, don't suffer by yourself if you're a carer. Get some help from the group, because it's pretty lonely out there if you're stuck at home and
it is.
Not able to take the person that you're looking after outside with you.
Yep. You need to have someone to share that burden with.
Sarah, I wish you well.
Thank you.
We will get you back. You tell me there's what week coming up?
I'll come back in Dementia Awareness Week later in the year.
Yeah, so that's obviously about raising awareness in the community about dementia.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah, we can talk about some more services to contact or supports that are available.
Yeah, because obviously nowadays there are some other opportunities other than what there used to be many years ago. Sarah, thank you for coming in to talk to us.
Thank you very much for having me.
And as I said, Greg Carrick will be on at 3 o'clock with the Oz Indie Show, and I'll be back Sunday night between 6 and 8 with a rock and roll hit parade.